Well, good morning to everyone. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. Good to see everybody on this rainy day, which is good. We've needed a good rain. Glad to get that. Anybody have something you'd like to share this morning? Miracles do happen. Kentucky beat Florida in football. Hadn't done that since 1986, I believe. So they did. They did. In football. Been. You did. I had to watch all the way. Kind of had a bizarre ending there. So. Hadn't won against Florida since, was it 1986? Is that right? 31 years. Every boy playing on Kentucky's team wasn't even born when they beat Florida. Anybody have something you'd like to share this morning? Maybe something. Everything was normal. Did you walk this morning?
No, not this morning.
Not this morning. Too wet outside. It's always good to get a good report and go to the doctor. Anybody else? You got something you'd like to share this morning? Your opportunity. Anybody? No? All right, then let's do this. We'll pray. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's go ahead and open up. We're in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. And then also, if you want to mark in your Bible, we're also going to go over to Matthew chapter number 3. I'm actually going to jump back a little bit to Matthew. We'll do that as well this morning. But John chapter 1 is where we will be this morning in our lesson. And we'll look at that. As always, we'll pray and ask for the Lord's blessings upon our day. And Brother Bradley, if you don't mind, would you pray for us? My voice is bothering me just a little bit this morning. Man, all right. Appreciate that very much. Let's see, how far are we in school now? How many weeks? Fifth week, already 4 weeks. See how time flies when you're having fun. I tell you what, it is kind of hard to believe to me that it's already 4 weeks into the school year. And I guess you're having a good year, Miss Braden? Good? Miss Richardson? Brother Yandel? She doesn't say that at home? Well, she didn't really say anything. She kind of nodded a little bit. Brother Yandel? Everything going okay? Good. I'm glad. Hope they have a good school year. No geometry. I know everybody's excited. Even the teacher's excited about that. John chapter number 1. We'll get into our lesson here real quickly. Of course, if you can remember back to last week, we kind of discussed a little bit, picking up in verse number 6 of chapter 1, of a little bit about John the Baptist. And our lesson this morning is going to be centered around him. And that's going to pick up in verse number 15. And that's where we'll begin this morning in our lesson. And we'll cover a little bit and discuss a little bit of the ministry of John the Baptist. When we get to the end of it, I'll kind of share maybe a thought with you. It's just a thought, if you would, about a little bit about John the Baptist. He is known as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And when that is mentioned, what a preacher may be saying and trying to relate a little bit, that it was John the Baptist that kind of laid a little bit of the foundation, if you would, of the introduction of Jesus Christ to his earthly ministry. You know, when you study the Word of God, you have the birth of Jesus Christ, a lot about that. And then here in chapter 15, you're going to find what we would kind of maybe put a title to it of the earthly ministry, or the beginning of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Between the birth of Christ and this, there's not an enormous amount in the Bible about the life of Christ. Now, I did put together a study years ago about the teenage years of Jesus Christ, and we don't really think about that very much, but, you know, Jesus Christ, there was a point in his life when he was 13. He became a teenager. And there is a few things in the Word of God that you can kind of find that make reference to the maybe the teenage years of Jesus Christ. But not a lot's in the Bible about that portion of time in his life. It's not that it wasn't important, it's just not a lot recorded in the Bible about that. But here we're going to find that John the Baptist is going to be one that is, he'll classify himself as a witness of Christ. He will be one that will speak of Christ, talk about Christ, introduce him, and then of course we'll find that he is even the one that baptizes Jesus Christ. So with all that being said, we'll kind of jump into our lesson this morning, but also John the Baptist, you've got to also understand, does anybody know the answer to this? Was John the Baptist older or younger than Jesus? He was older. And that's going to be a little something here I want to show you in the Word of God. He was actually, am I right, Brother Brandon, six months older than Jesus Christ, and that is actually recorded in Scripture. So he's pretty close to the same age as Christ. He's 6 months older than Jesus Christ. In fact, John the Baptist not only was he 6 months older than Jesus, but he actually also started his ministry earlier than Jesus Christ. Now, when I say ministry, I'm talking about traveling and preaching and teaching and so forth. So kind of keep that in mind as well. But we're going to pick up in verse number 15. This is where we are to pick up here in our lesson. Let's do that. Let's pray first. Well, we already prayed. Brother Bradley prayed, all right? And verse number 15, it says here, John bear witness of him, all right? This is John the Baptist. And that speaks volumes where he is a witness of Jesus Christ. He's going to speak about Jesus Christ. And all this is going to kind of fall in place here in just a moment. But he is a witness, and he bear witness of him. And we often will make reference. That's what we are to do in our life. We are to bear witness of Jesus Christ. I think the ministry of John the Baptist, our ministry is similar and actually the same in many ways. It is our job as a believer this morning to bear witness of Jesus Christ. We ought to speak about Jesus Christ. We ought to share the name of Jesus Christ. We ought to share the word of Jesus Christ. We ought to bear witness in how we live our life. And everything about our life ought to be centered around bearing witness of Jesus Christ. Now, John the Baptist, his ministry, that's his focal point. That his whole ministry is centered around being bearing witness of Christ. Verse 15, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." All right, so that's what he's speaking and he's talking to people about. His messengers are centered around this as well. And this is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, also, I don't want to kind of bypass where it says, "And John bare witness of him and cried." Now, the word "cried" there, if you were to look it up and you were to go back and study this and do a word search, the word "cried" means to shout or cry out loudly. John the Baptist was very loud in the way he would present the messages. He was a very different individual. We could go over to Matthew. It describes his lifestyle a little bit more, a little different than everybody else. But you'll find often when it described John the Baptist, it would use the term, "and he cried." It doesn't mean that he was sobbing and tears are coming down his cheeks. It means his speech was spoken loudly to people. He would be known as one of those loud type preachers, if you would. So he cried, he bare witness in verse number 15. And then that last little phrase, it says, "For he was before me." Now, if you go to Scripture, you'll find that John the Baptist actually was born before Jesus Christ. So what does it mean when John the Baptist makes the statement that actually Christ was before me? Does anybody want to take a shot at it? Correct. He always was. As we mentioned last week, God always has been. Jesus Christ has always been. Even though earthly speaking, John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus Christ, but in eternal value here, Jesus Christ is older than John the Baptist, okay? He always has been, and John the Baptist actually speaks of that. So we find here that he bare witness in verse number 15, and that was his ministry. He cried aloud. He spoke loudly, and he when he would preach, he would be very bold and very loud in the way he would present that message as well. John the Baptist was not a mild-mannered type of a guy. In fact, he was very straightforward. He was very colorful, you could say, maybe even in the words that he would use, even in his messages. And he was not afraid of anyone. He didn't sugarcoat anything. I would say this, John the Baptist was not politically correct in any way, any form, or any fashion in his ministry. Now, everybody's different in their ministry approach. Jesus Christ in his ministry, in many ways, was not like John the Baptist. And it's interesting when you start studying different... when you think about Peter, what do you think about when you think about Peter? He's very bold. In fact, he spoke many times before he really kind of thought about what he was going to say sometimes. He would speak and kind of get himself in a little bit of trouble sometimes. And everybody in their ministry was different in their own right, in their own way. And it doesn't mean that one's better or less than the other. It's just everybody has maybe what you would call different styles. John the Baptist was very in your face. He was very bold. He was very loud. He's very colorful, and we'll look at that in a moment, and the words that he would use, but he's very important because he's going to introduce, if you would, Jesus Christ to the scene of the ministry of Christ here and lay that foundation, if you would. So he's very loud. He's very forceful. He's not passive at all in his ministry. Verse number 16, and of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Sometimes people will take that little phrase there, grace for grace, and sometimes it's a little misunderstood. When it mentions here grace for grace, it means grace upon grace. It's a picture, if you would, grace being piled higher and higher and higher, describing Jesus Christ. I'm not going to venture out a lot here about grace. I will say this, we ought to praise God every day for the grace of God. We attend Grace Baptist Church. That's a good name. I like that name. I like the word grace. I like the word Baptist, and I'm not ashamed to say that this morning. And we often will mention grace, but boy, sometimes it's hard to live a life by grace. We like receiving the grace of God, but often we find it hard to give grace to other people sometimes. And I'm glad God is a merciful God, and I'm glad God is a gracious God, and I'm glad that Jesus Christ was one that was full of grace, if you would, as the Bible describes it here. If you'll go down to verse number 19, it says, and this is the record of John. Now, we're talking about John the Baptist, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So you'll find here that the ministry of John the Baptist, even though he was, does anybody remember in Matthew, the Bible describes a little bit of the lifestyle of John the Baptist. Anybody remember anything about him? What he ate? Does anybody remember what he liked to eat? Locust. Does anybody know what locust is? I'm not much on that. That's just not part of my diet. Has anybody ever had that in their life? I know, is it Japanese or Chinese people that eat those? Anybody ever had any? Anybody? Nobody. All right? Nobody's ever had anything like that. I liked maybe Japanese or Chinese food, but grasshoppers just... that's just not my thing. I'm not going to eat grasshoppers. I guess if I was starving to death, I would. But for some reason, John the Baptist liked locusts, and he liked wild honey. His appearance was a little bit different. Anybody remember anything about that? He had camel's hair. He wore camel's hair. And even the Bible kind of is describing a little bit. I mean, he's a little bit out of the ordinary. The way he would look in his appearance, you would not be impressed with his appearance. His diet was, I mean, to be honest with you, everything about John the Baptist was very different. But yet, in this ministry that he has, as he preaches about one that is about to come, that being Jesus Christ, he draws huge crowds. John the Baptist becomes very popular. In fact, you'll find he had his own disciples that followed him and helped him in his ministry. And we'll get to that a little bit later in the lesson this morning. But he becomes a kind of a popular figure. I mean, he is the talk of the town. And I don't know what was talked about, but I would have to guess this morning that people say, man, you got to meet this guy. He's a little weird. He dresses a little bit far out, and he's a little colorful in his speech, and he's pretty bold, and he makes some statements that are going to be not politically correct, and even his diet's a little bit weird, but all that started to spread, and he started drawing some pretty big crowds. He has a good following. He has his own disciples, and so now it gets to the point, as we find down in verse number 19 here, that the Jews get to the point where we need to find out who is this guy. So they decide that they're going to send some people to go and question this John the Baptist and check into his ministry and find out who art thou, as it ends in verse number 19. So that's the big question. Who is this man called John the Baptist? Now, as we mentioned last week, his last name's not Baptist. That's his title, because he was one that did what? He baptized. That was very different than a lot of other ministries that people had. In fact, a lot of people didn't think he had the authority to be able to do that, but it was a God-given, heaven-sent authority that was given to John the Baptist in his ministry. So in verse number 19, these Jews, they're going to send some priests and some Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And I think sincerely they were really inquisitive of who is he. He's got a strange ministry. He's an odd dude, and he's got a lot of followers, and he's got disciples now that are dedicated to helping and serving in his ministry and following this man called John the Baptist. And we're going to get to some of those in this chapter as well. So John the Baptist began to draw these large crowds. He became popular. The Jews sent these Levites and priests to question him and ask him, "Who art thou?" Now, if you would, you have keep your finger there, but go also, also keep your finger here in Matthew chapter number 3 as well. And I want to show you some. This is the other recording in the book of Matthew of the same setting here, where you have the ministry of John the Baptist described in Matthew chapter number 3. And you'll find here that in verse number 5, and then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So that's pretty predominant in the ministry of John the Baptist. He preaches. Thank God for those that repent, get born again, and they get baptized, we find here in verse number 6. And then verse number 7, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. All right, so you have to realize something here. John the Baptist is in a service. He's in a baptismal service. And now in verse number 7 in Matthew chapter 3, you've got this group of Pharisees and Sadducees. They're coming also to question him to find out who in the world is this guy. And I like verse number 7. And so they come to this baptismal service, and he said unto them, "O generation of what? Vipers." You might know what a viper is. It's a snake. Now, how would you like it in your baptismal service? This is John the Baptist. This kind of guy he is. He's baptizing people and so forth. It's kind of a serious service and kind of, a low-key, happy, exciting type service and so forth. But then some visitors show up, and he kind of stops the baptismal service and calls them a bunch of snakes. See, that's the kind of guy he is. I mean, you have to understand what you're reading here. That's that boldness of John the Baptist. He's not politically correct. He's not careful of choosing soft, kind words here. He says in verse number 7, he says, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet to repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an insight of the kind of ministry John the Baptist has. I doubt seriously that John the Baptist was loved and revered by everyone. He kind of he ruffled the feathers of a lot of people. In fact, some of the statements that even John the Baptist in his boldness at times could cost him very dearly. You'll find here that that's the kind of ministry John the Baptist had. Now, over in John, we're there in chapter number 1 in verse number 19, where we find, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Verse number 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the what? The Christ. I think some of the Jews thought that John the Baptist may very well be Jesus Christ. I think there were legitimately some that thought, could this actually be the Messiah? This guy's, you know, got a pretty big ministry, and even though it's different in a lot of ways, so they're questioning him, and they're asking him here, who art thou, in verse number 19, and he immediately tells them, number one, I am not Christ. I am not Christ. He goes on in verse number 21, and they ask him, what then? If you're not the Christ, what then? One asked, or maybe several, I don't know exactly who asked this, art thou Elias, which is Elijah. Some thought maybe this is Elijah. In fact, some Bible scholars believe that John the Baptist and Elijah were a lot alike, that they were a little rugged, if you would, a little bold in their speech, a little loud in their speech, and maybe a little rough around the edges for some people, maybe. Some thought maybe this is Elijah. Could it be that this is actually Elijah? You'll find in verse number 21, and he saith, I am not. I'm not him. I'm not Christ either. Then somebody says, are thou that prophet? And he answered, no. I'm none of these that you think that I am. So they're a little confused, because you have to understand the Jews sent them there to get an answer and find out, who is this guy? Is he Christ? No. He asked also, are they all lies? No. Are you that prophet? Now, when it says in verse number 21, are thou that prophet, many believe that maybe they're referring to Moses. And he answered, no. Verse 22, then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? Who are you? Please let us know. We've got to report back. We were sent here by the Jews to find out who you are. We've asked, are you Christ? And you said no. Are you that prophet? No. Are you Elias? You said no. Please tell us who you are. I've got to report back. I've got to go back and tell them who you are. So you'll find here that the question is being asked of who he is, and he's now going to describe who he is in verse number, he said, and they ask him at the end of verse 22, what sayest thou of thyself here? Verse 23, I love this. He saith, I am the what? The voice of God. I'm a voice. Been a lot of sermons preached out of that little phrase, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice, he says here, of one crying in the wilderness. You know, a lot could be said about that phrase, and that's an easy verse to really run with and preach on, because actually this morning I think we could all testify we live in a wilderness in the day and age we live in. You know what we ought to be? A voice. He says here in verse number 23 that he's describing himself. And here's how John the Baptist, when he would actually look at himself and try to describe himself to someone, he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. So you find here that he describes himself, I'm just a voice. I'm not Christ. I'm not that prophet. I'm not Elijah. I'm not all these different people that you think I am. I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. When you really think about it, that's a great title to have. That ought to be our title this morning. We ought to be those that are ones, a voice that is crying in the wilderness. He was a very passionate individual. He was a very aggressive individual. He was very loud. He was very bold. But when it really comes down to it, describing his ministry, even though his appearance was different, his diet and what he would eat was very different than from everyone else, but when he describes himself as a voice, as he describes in verse 23, of one crying in the wilderness. Thank God for that voice. Thank God for that one voice that's crying from the wilderness. And he even goes on to describe a little bit of what he's telling people. Make straight the way of the Lord. He is preparing and the introduction of Jesus Christ that comes on the scene here in this very chapter. Jesus Christ appears, and we're going to find here the actual beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. But the foundation was laid by John the Baptist as he introduces Christ to the world. What was his message? Here it is. Make straight the way of the Lord. And look at verse 24. He goes on, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Kind of describing that when you find here now that they were sent from the Pharisees, it kind of gives you an idea of probably what they believed before they ever approached John the Baptist here. Verse 25, and they ask him and saith unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Why? Who gave you the authority to be one that could baptize people? So now we get into the discussion of baptism. And that's one of the reasons why he is given the title of John the Baptist, because he was one that baptized people. Verse 26, John answered, said them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. So we find here that now they accept the fact that he's not the ones that they thought he might be. So now they're questioning, then, why are you baptizing people? It's unlawful for John the Baptist to be able to baptize without the authority given unto him. What they don't understand and realize, he had the authority. It was a God, heaven, sin authority that was given unto him. And he's preparing the way of the Lord. He's making straight the way, if you would, for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now they get into a little bit of a spat about baptism. And if you'll find in verse number 26, the word baptize here, if you were to take that word baptize and you study that word, it is a word that was actually translated into English as baptizo. And if you study that word, it means to dip or to immerse underwater. By the way, John the Baptist didn't sprinkle people. He baptized them by immersion. Right? All right, let's go. You're there. You kept your finger at Matthew. Go back, if you would. Matthew chapter number 3. Make sure we all understand, because there's still a debate raging a little bit about what is baptism. What about sprinkling? Is sprinkling the same thing? Well, to me, I don't know how you can make it any more plain than Matthew chapter number 3. You'll find here in chapter 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. What's the next two little words? Of him. Make sure you understand this. Jesus Christ goes out of his way to be baptized by a certain person. Does anybody know who that person is? John the Baptist. You have to understand it wasn't convenient, maybe. It wasn't just maybe right next door for him to get baptized. It says here, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, singles out this one person, John the Baptist, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest unto me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up what? Straightway. What's the next word? Out of the water. Now, I'm not the brightest person in this room, but I don't see how anybody gets sprinkling out of that. Do you see sprinkling anywhere? You see where he's dropping little drops of water on his head? No. All right, let me ask you this. Where is he getting baptized? Jordan. All right. It's not a cup of water that he goes down into. He goes down into the what? He goes where? He goes down into the Jordan here. And it says here in verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, by the way, by John the Baptist, out at Jordan, he was actually in Galilee. He goes all the way over to find John to be baptized of him in the Jordan here, and he was baptized, verse 16, when he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he, talking about John the Baptist, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am what? All right, let me ask you this. John the Baptist in that passage baptizes whom? Jesus Christ. He baptizes him where? All right, in the Jordan. All right. Does he come up out of the water? All right, which describes here, there's no way that he can get anything else other than he was immersed underwater and he was raised up out of the water. Is everybody with me so far? All right. Then, lo and behold, John the Baptist says, he looks up, and what happens? What happens? He sees the Spirit of God. And it looked like a what unto him? He likens it, he said, it looked like a dove, and it comes and does what? All right? It descends upon Christ. And then, all of a sudden, there is a voice from where? Heaven, all right? Who do you think that might be? God the Father. And he says that he is, this is my beloved Son in whom I am what? Well pleased. So you've got God happy. You've got Jesus happy. John the Baptist is one that just performed the service. You got to realize that people don't like to be told this, but it's Bible. John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. And not only was Jesus Christ, and we find here that not only we have Jesus Christ, but you also have God the Father who actually speaks a voice from heaven and tells everybody he's well pleased. Right? Now, I believe this. I believe that when someone becomes a child of God, they ought to get baptized. And I think that when one gets baptized by immersion, I believe that it's well pleasing unto God. People will ask sometimes, after a person gets saved, when should they get baptized? My response is always, as soon as you can. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I think when you do that, we often make these references of what baptism is, and I understand it's a picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, but also it's a step of obedience. And not only is it a step of obedience, I think it actually makes God happy. I think God is pleased when something like that happens. All right, so we find in, let's go back to John. I'm jumping back and forth. John chapter 1 in verse 26, they're debating here this baptism and baptism with water and who gives you the authority to do all this and so forth. But he goes on in verse 27, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me. And he says, you know, and he's going to be somebody that I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes on his feet. You find here John the Baptist describing a little bit of who Jesus Christ is and a little bit of who he is a person. He's not the Christ. I am not Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes that are on the feet of Jesus Christ. You'll find here, verse 28 describes to you where this was all done, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing in verse number 28 here. Now, you'll find here in verse number 29, the next day, right? So you've got the day that this took place. Now we get to the next day in verse 29. John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So now in verse 29, and then by the way, in the book of John, he doesn't record the baptism of Jesus Christ here. But in verse 29, he tells you here that Jesus Christ comes on the scene here, and this is the next day described in verse 29, and he makes the statement, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And thank God for the appearance of Jesus Christ. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Describing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. Now I want to stop right here and look at this little phrase, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. Does anybody know who that is? God. That's why I'll often say unto you, that John the Baptist had the authority to baptize because it was given from God of heaven unto him. He says, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, some might debate. I think that when the heavens opened up and he saw what he describes as a dove that comes from heaven and it lights and abode upon Jesus Christ, and then you hear a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's when John the Baptist knew this is the Son of God, the one that was preferred before me, the one that was here before me. The one that I've been preaching about, the one I've been telling everybody about, the one that I've been telling to make straight the way for the appearing of the Son of God. And verse number 34, and I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. There's no mistake in here of who this is. It is Jesus Christ. You'll find in that John the Baptist, you know, I'm not saying that he was reassured, but I think that there was no doubt in his mind that day of who this is. was the dove that came down and lit and abode upon Jesus Christ? Is that God sending a sign for John the Baptist? And there's a lot of debate of what all that really means and why did this take place and so forth. And I don't know that I can give you, you know, sometimes I don't know that I know exactly what the answer is there, but I have no doubts that when John the Baptist steps back and the heavens open up, and you have to realize he just put Jesus Christ underwater and raised him up out of the water, right? And we find that in Matthew of what exactly took place there. And this dove comes and he lights and abode upon Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost of God and all these different things that are taking place. And I don't know that I can kind of do justice in trying to describe exactly what took place. But I just believe that John the Baptist steps back and realizes this is the Son of God. The one I've been telling everybody about. The one that I've been preaching about. The one that I've been introducing to this world. This is the Son of God. What a ministry that John the Baptist has. He baptized a lot of people. There was something different that day when he baptized this one. This one is the Son of God. And to even hear the voice from heaven that says, I am well pleased. I don't know what that meant to John the Baptist that day, and I don't know what went through his mind when he left that day. And I don't know if we can adequately, humanly speaking, describe exactly what takes place this day, but what a wonderful day in the life and ministry of John the Baptist. Things are going to change now. Jesus Christ appears that day. He's baptized that day. He's introduced as the Lamb of God. Even John the Baptist says in verse 34, and I saw him bear record that this is the Son of God. And you'll find in verse 35, if you have a Scofield Bible, there's a little heading there that Mr. Scofield put in. It says the public ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, all the focus is going to shift to Jesus Christ. See, all the focus before was on John the Baptist. But now, we have what we would call the beginnings of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. It says here, verse number 35, again, the next day. So now we're up to what? Day 3, I believe it is. After John stood and two of his disciples, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he saith. So you've got John the Baptist, two of John the Baptist's disciples standing there. Jesus walks by. And in verse 36, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they, what did they do? Follow Jesus. By the way, that's what they should have done. I want to go somewhere here really quickly. I've kind of asked myself sometimes, I wonder how John the Baptist feels this day. Two of his disciples just left to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying John the Baptist is sad. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just trying to think, humanly speaking, you have to understand something here. All the focus is going to transfer from the ministry of John the Baptist. In fact, he's pretty well going to be non-existent after this. Now, I'm not saying he was non-existent, but I'm just saying all the focus now is going to turn to John the is going to turn from John the Baptist to Jesus Christ. We find here it's the third day, and in verse 35, 36, and 37, we find that two of John's disciples now follow Jesus Christ. Verse 40 says, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You're going to find that Andrew was one of those disciples who now reaches his brother Simon, and now he's going to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You find in verse number 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. So now you've got Jesus Christ. He reaches Philip in verse 43. Verse 45, you'll find that Philip now finds Nathanael, reaches him. He becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of we could say here this morning about what's taking place here, but I will say this. You'll often find in this chapter people reaching other people. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be people that reaches other people. You'll find in verse number 40, it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You'll find, as I've already mentioned in verse number 43, the day following, Jesus would go into Galilee and find Philip and say unto him, follow me, and he follows him. You'll find down in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. And Nathanael saith unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. You know, that's a good sermon right there. Come and see. That's what we ought to tell everybody. If you don't believe me, just come see. Come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And off the ministry goes of Jesus Christ. I wonder, does John the Baptist ever struggle a little bit? And I'm not saying he does. Maybe he approached it and he was very excited to realize that I had a part of helping some of these disciples that once followed me and the influence I had in their life, and now here they are becoming a follower of Christ. And I'm not saying either way. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I wonder to myself, I wonder how I would feel. You know, I can't help but think that I would have to go home maybe being a little bit lonely, but yet excited on the other hand. It's kind of like, I don't know, Brother Richardson's been here long enough to maybe see people come into to the ministry here, but yet go on to do other things. And it's kind of, I don't know, sad and happy the same way. You're really excited for them to see them go off and do something and maybe pastor a church somewhere or whatever that God maybe has called them to do, but yet on the other hand, you're kind of a little sad that they're not here anymore. But what a ministry that John the Baptist had. Now, from here on out in our lessons, we're going to start studying now, of course. We'll focus now on the ministry of Jesus Christ and all that takes place in his life. But that's the foundation of the beginning of what we classify as the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray for your blessings upon the hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.